everybody, welcome back to season 3 of the Reawakening Podcast. I'm Brian Ingraham, and for season 3, we're going to take a little bit of a different direction. Same heart to talk about reawakening and just wanting to help people, all of us, go from where we are to feeling more alive and more fresh and more vibrant in our faith in Jesus. But with this era, I want to hear more than just from me. I mean, I like hearing from me, I'm sure, just fine or whatever, but I think it's time to throw the net wider. So actually, I'm going to be going through meeting with and having conversations with different people in my life and people I know who have had moments where they have experienced reawakening. I've experimented a little bit with interviews in the past. You know, I remember I had that picnic table random interview with Don Crook once. It wasn't even really an interview, but it was just out in a park somewhere and just kind of hearing from him, and had a little bit of a chat with Kelly one time. But this is a little bit different, but same heart. I want to hear from more voices, and I want to get more thoughts in your head, because I have my own experiences and I feel like I have said them over and over and over. But now it's time to start thinking even a little bit bigger from new voices. And so today, as we begin, I get to spend time with one of my great friends, Crooksy, who is lead pastor of Rehope Church Southside, and just hear from him and his journey and story. I know that you're going to appreciate this time, and so I'm glad that you are tuned in for season 3. Crooksy, thank you for being here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are quickly, kind of an introduction to you.
Great, I will do. Thanks for having me. My name is Crooksy, a nickname I picked up in high school. My real name is Roger Martin Crooks, but nobody really calls me that.
Question.
Yes.
Did you give yourself the nickname?
No, I would do anything for attention, but I did not give myself the nickname. I guess you're either going to be Crooks or Crooksy or Crookso. Crooksy happened to me and it stuck since. So yeah, it's whether I like it or not.
I guess I always wanted to know exactly how we got this.
Whether I like it or not, it's happening, but it's all good. So I'm Irish. I've lived in Scotland since 2008. Been married to my wife Jamie for 11 years. She's also Irish. Despite both of us being Irish, our whole relationship has been in Glasgow. I consider myself to be Irish, but our marriage to be Scottish, which I kind of like. Okay. We took a brief detour in life. Lived in Portland, Oregon for a few years. That was really fun. I have done every job. I've worked in Lush. I've worked in Starbucks. I've been a kids pastor. I'm a lead pastor. I've worked with kids with additional support needs. I kind of feel like I've done them all. Liked some of them, but I really like this job, leading Rehope Church in the South Side. It's a good place. It's a good time.
I'm glad you're here. It's really been fun. I mean, I know those Portland years were significant times of training, and just seeing God's directive. And maybe we'll have another even time where we get to talk through God's leading, because your story of how God led you through life and through these moments. Maybe we'll hit a little bit on that today, but like, it's so rich, and there's just so much more than probably we're going to be able to get to today. But I love just the journey that God brought you on to get you to here, and how he prepared you for the challenges and the joys of the moment. And man, God's been great. So we're talking about reawakening here in this podcast, and times of coming alive and fresh. I know that you have many of those, and like, where do you want to go with this? What are times in your life where you're like, oh, here's a moment where I felt like a boost, where I felt like this is a significant moment in my life, or a significant learning point in my life, where I was like, I'm feeling my soul, myself respond in a positive way, maybe even an unexpected way.
Yeah. First of all, I really like the perspective shift that I've seen in myself over the last like little while, where I used to confuse revival and reawakening, and now the idea of like a personal level reawakening just puts like a lot more like emphasis and brings a lot more joy into those kind of moments where I maybe would have described them before as like, yeah, you could say getting a boost, but when you think about it, it's like, here's a moment where my heart was reawakened. That kind of feels like heavier in a good way, but like funner, brighter. I love that. So I guess my story is one I really resonate with. Peter seems like a dude needs to make the same mistake three times before he learns from it, and I can really resonate with that. And my walk with Jesus, I became a Christian when I was 4 years old. I have wonderful Christian parents who led me in that, and my story is one of kind of like drifting away and then God bringing me back. So like 15, 21, 25, I had these moments where I drifted away and then God brought me back. And one of those moments is kind of how I ended up at ReHope, where I moved to Glasgow, spent about 6 months like church hunting being a very loose term. I wasn't hunting very actively.
Hunting in your dreams as you slept in or something?
Yes,
like that.
A lot of sleeping in. Even worse than that, I went through a big like Strictly Come Dancing phase and wanted to get home in time for the results show. So when I did go to the church, it was in the evening. And then I would like come in late and then race home so I could see the results show. Thankfully, the Lord has brought me out of that dark place. But not hunting very hard. And Jamie went to ReHope for a while when she was a student. She moved over to Glasgow 4 years earlier than me so she could study here. But I was determined not to go to ReHope. It seemed all a bit, like I was a good Presbyterian boy and liked things to be very traditional, and ReHope seemed to have too many like fresh ideas for me. How dare you have any creativity?
Didn't we have a lot of candles back then?
Candles, yeah, probably a lot of candles. The thing that won me over was that, I guess we showed up 1 week. Jamie's friend was here and we thought that she might like it. And she definitely wouldn't like the church that we were going to, air quotes, going to at the time. So we came to ReHope and God really spoke to me. And then I started to look around and I was like, they have remembered my name from that one time I visited. They really like Jamie. They've got Haribo. They've got like a table beside your chair where you can set your like little bowl of snacks. Actually, this place is all right.
But okay, hold on. We don't have that anymore, just for the record.
The cabaret seating was a vibe.
Yeah, we don't have the tables anymore. We don't have space for the tables. But
I know, I mean, good problems. But back in the day when you've got lots of space and space for tables, it was a win. But I came this 1 week reluctantly. Let's just say reluctantly. And you were preaching about Hagar. Mm-hmm. And she had run away, and I felt like I could resonate with the like drifting in the desert thing. And God met with her. He like, you're the God who sees me, still like has so much significance for me, that God sees me and knows me and knows what's good for me. Mm-hmm. Told me, it was like, you need to go home, and home being church. And I thought, well, this is where God spoke to me, so I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to stay here. Came back the next week, and all of the things I thought were maybe a bit too out there for me, things like share time, testimony, like how dare we, far too out there for me. Like my hand went up, and it almost felt like an out-of-body experience, but it just was like, last week God spoke to me, and I had been drifting, and he called me back to him, and I'm answering, and I'm here, and I'm in. And
wow.
Jamie was like, psh, like, you did that? And I was like, I did that. I really did do that. And then that just kind of brought a season where, I don't know, some things are like just so, like, have been so normal in my life. Do you know, like, my dad's a pastor. Going to church was something that I don't know a life where I didn't go to church. But there have been a few seasons in my life where I have neglected church. And the direct correlation between the amount of times that I am spending with God, with his people, and my relationship with him, my mental health, my happiness levels, my general happiness levels, like those are all, like in my experience, directly correlated. And once I came back to him, then all of those things just like went up in my life. I felt more fulfillment, more everything. I felt at home. I made friends. Like moving to a new city is weird, for you kind of feel it yourself, but you don't, and your friends are somewhere else. And I'm a very social creature, so a lot of how I feel within my own skin is how are my interpersonal relationships. And when you've got less of them, then I feel less good. All of a sudden, meeting people, getting to know them, like meeting with God, with them, I'm just loving it. And like the commitment to church peace brought like joy and reawakening in my life. I really wanted to join the worship team. And a dude said, look, if you want to join the worship team, that means you need to come to our prayer meetings before our services and you need to read the Bible cover to cover in a year. And like the week before, I couldn't make it to church. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And I did it.
What?
Turns out you can just do it. Who knew?
So you come to church 1 week. You have some sort of significant God meeting with you through the message moment and really the story of Hagar, honestly, because I have heard you talk about this moment, I'm super intimidated to ever talk about Hagar again. But I love that story so much.
Yeah, me too.
And but you had this, and then the next week you're back, hand in the air, and you're like, sign me up for worship, for Bible, for praying.
Yeah, I just want to do it.
And wow.
Not doing it was not working out for me. And then, you know, it really felt like God called me to him. I was so resistant, and he got me, and my resistances fell. Like, he spoke, I answered. And I was like, right, well, if I'm going to be, I'm quite a, like, I like an immersive experience. I'm quite an all-in or all-out type person. So if I was going to be in, I was going to be in. And I did really want to play in the worship band. And if that's what it takes, then I'll do it.
Oh, I love that. It's really surprising something as quote-unquote normal as church can have, like, showing up and God showing up and just how that simple moment, 90 minutes or whatever, however long, an hour, whatever it ends up being, can have a life-altering, in your situation,
life-altering. And, like, life-altering on the day-to-day, like, and how, like, my perspective on life shifted, joy, purpose, all that stuff. But, like, yeah, like, big picture life trajectory changed in a moment. I wish I could remember the date, but I'm pretty sure it was sometime in March 2009. I wish I could know the date.
I might actually have to know. I'll try and look that up.
I did go back through the Rehope YouTube archives to see if I could find... This message predates the YouTube archives.
That predates a Rehope video camera years. Yeah. Oh, that's fun. Okay. So, I mean, yeah, so that's one of those major lessons, this church, and just as a huge reawakening moment. So significant.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Have you had any other times in your life where you felt like, boosted or reawakening experiences or habits or whatever?
Yeah. So the commitment to church peace was really big for me. And as I mentioned, when I joined the worship team, now you've got to be in a Bible read-through group. So I joined a Bible read-through group. And I had not been wonderful with my own personal Jesus times over the course of my life. I'm a very extrovert. And I really enjoy doing stuff with people. Everybody doing the same thing all at the same time. I love that. I live for that. And if you have to do something on your own, that's just like naturally less appealing to me. So time alone with Jesus, it just never, like, honestly, it just never appealed to me. I never wanted to do it. I never like pushed in hard enough to like start to see the joy through it. And growing up in my church, like my dad's great preacher, wonderful man, my mum as well, like great person, great guide for me growing up. But I just didn't have anybody my own age, and like I'm so thankful for them for anchoring me and my faith for a long time. But I think out of that, I just allowed myself to become like a little bit over-reliant on them. Do you know, like they could anchor me. I don't need to anchor myself. So I didn't invest in my own relationship with Jesus through his word or through prayer, like even really through serving. Serving was something that I had to do at church because there was no one else to do it. We went to like a little small traditional inner city church and I had to do it rather than I wasn't serving with joy. But at least, I don't know, at least I did it.
You missed that Psalm 100, serve the Lord with gladness.
That was not the thing that could describe me back in those days. But at least I did serve as opposed to like not really paying attention to the Bible or prayer. But when I started in at university, it was the first time that I joined a small group at my CU. And I got my first taste of what it's like to be part of like a Bible reading, Bible thinking, Bible discussing, Bible applying community. And I was just like, yo. But again, like that was one of those things where you could show up to the Bible study. You don't have to do any prep. Mm. Your leader will ask you the questions. You'll answer them. And then you'll go home and you'll come back next week. And it still didn't do much for my own relationship with Jesus or my heart's desire to spend time with him. But this read-through thing, you can't bluff that. Like people try and bluff it every so often. I'm sure I tried back in the days, but you can't bluff that. Like you've either read it or you haven't. You've got something to say or you don't. And I wanted to be in that worship team. And actually the worship pastor at Rehope at the time was my read-through leader. So like I felt like I needed to put my money where my mouth was with the Bible. And I started reading it and I found it really slow and hard and quite intense. I was training to be a primary school teacher that year and I let placements be the reason why I wouldn't go to my read-through group or finish my reading or whatever. And then after being in that read-through group for about a year, praying consistently, something finally shifted. And I remember like really clearly sitting actually beside my grandma's deathbed, like just sitting quietly, like spending time with her. Like we were kind of like taking it in shifts to be with her. And I knew I had to read Exodus that week. So I just read it in one go. And that was the moment where I thought, okay, this took time and I've got time, but I can do this. I can concentrate. I can pay attention. I can take my notes. And a lot of the times when I've felt like reawakening in my life has been connected with, actually, yes, you can do this. And like purpose and like there's an element of task in it. I quite like getting stuff done. But proving to myself you can do this for yourself. You don't need a small group leader to ask you questions. Like you don't need your mom and dad to like hold you up. You can walk on your own 2 feet. And I came back from that time having read like 40 chapters of Exodus in one go, thinking if I can do that, I can do this. And got through. I remember actually was unemployed at the time, not much money, and the one thing I did in the week, I would like get my like, it was back in the days where you could still go to like offshore on Gibson Street and buy like a bucket of coffee for $2.50. I remember like sitting in offshore and I read like all of Isaiah in one go because that was what I got. That was what I got to do that week. And it's like, this is my week's entertainment. Like, and but then I was like, wait, hold on. My treat for the week is a bucket of coffee from offshore and Bible. And Bible just got put in the treat box as opposed to the like, that doesn't really appeal to me box. And all of a sudden I was like, yo, make it a treat for you and you will do it. And then like maybe the getting to leave the house, getting to spend some money, what a treat. Getting a coffee out, what a treat. But then like getting to spend some time with Jesus just gets put into the equation with what a treat. And then anyway, just in. And my dad's theology would be quite a lot more reformed than what we would be used to here at Rehope. And I remember being quite nervous about the first time he came to Rehope. But I think he saw the change that Rehope made to me through Bible read-throughs. I would like phone him up and be like, yo, why does Paul be like, you can't, like, you don't need, don't with the circumcision, but then circumcises Timothy. What do you think about that? And he saw me like thinking about things, engaging with it, asking questions. I want to learn. I want to know. And I think at that point, Rehob could do very, very little wrong. And he's a pastor now in Argyll. And in the last three churches he's pastored, he started Bible Read Through Groups. Like, just kind of, he kind of believes in that. I guess just from like I went from zero for 25 years of like my own initiative to read the Bible to... Like, sometimes you think back and you're like, I've been reading the Bible cover to cover for 15 years. And soon, I'll like 10 more years, and I'll have been reading the Bible longer than I was neglecting it. And I'm really looking forward to that day.
Oh, but wow, that's
just like made such a shift in my life. And getting to be a dork about something, like, I love that as well.
Yeah.
And there's worse things that you could be a dork about than the Bible.
Yes. Oh, there's so many pieces there, because not only like did it captivate you, but your captivation, your reawakening, I guess, using just the word from the podcast here, that idea of like, I'm responding to the word, it's grabbing a hold of me, it becomes contagious, other people see it, they're also starting to enfold it. Like, it's a reawakening that starts here with you in your heart, and then others are impacted by it, and... That's really cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
You have another thought when it comes to other kind of reawakening pieces there.
Sure. So my story when I commit to church, that's good. When I don't commit to church, those are the times whenever things were a lot more shaky. My commitment to the Bible when that grew. That was really good, but I don't know. I feel like there are times that we go through where things are maybe just like a bit more turbulent and a bit more wavy. And you know, when we moved to Portland and I didn't have a read through group anymore, and like felt the isolation in that. You know, there are times where like I'm committed to this, and also in like the read through way is really working for me now that that's kind of gone. For a minute, we started a bunch of reading groups in Portland. But that kind of like stability of the like that comes from discipline, which comes from desire. So I've seen the stability come in like changing from thinking I need to do this is going to be good for me, to I want to do this. And like those things kind of like all building up on things. And the stability piece for me is so important. I'm not as turbulent as I used to be, but I'm like, there's an emotional turbulence like in me, and I wear my heart on my sleeve, and my emotions can either be like a really helpful thing for me or a really not helpful thing for me. And seeing how when things get unstable, things can get unstable, yo. So being more self-aware in my old age, I knew that I needed to, like when lockdown hit and we were in Portland then, like away from family and all that stuff, knowing that the stability was going to be key and thinking, right, I can't go to church right now. That's the thing that really helps me. I can't meet with my read-through group. That's the thing that really helps me. So what am I going to do here? And seeing like other people head into that season without, I guess, the self-leadership that I developed over like the read-through years and without kind of that like stability of like desire-filled discipline in prayer and reading the Bible, all that stuff, and like seeing people like really struggle, but in that, like, I guess when the chips fell, I was on my couch at 7 a.m. I had a coffee in hand. I remember you talking about this, and like in Glasgow when it's cold you get the blanket over your lap, and like this is the time you do that. And I thought, well, if church is away, I can't meet with them right now, can't meet with my read-through group right now, well then meeting with Jesus needs to be like more than it ever has needed to be, non-negotiable in my life, and just like the little haven. Jamie and I got into this really sweet routine. I'd get up at 7, make us coffee, bring it up to her. She would do a read through. I would go downstairs, sit on the couch and do mine. And just like that stability that came from, I don't know, just like knowing, that this piece is always going to be in place in a very turbulent season, that was just huge. And sometimes reawakening can feel like a boost. You grow a lot. You see, you feel a lot more joy. Like you see the growth. You feel closer to Jesus. That one just felt like things kept going. It didn't feel like a boost, but within the context of that season, when lots of other people were struggling a lot, being stable was getting a boost.
Yeah, struggling with consistency, struggling with motivation to even do the basics of life.
Yeah. So,
well, that's interesting, you know, hearing, because you have, like you said, emotion. I was really curious, like when you started talking about that, I'm like, okay, the stability thing, because you're great. But you also have a flair, a dramatic flair.
Yes.
I'm using words.
I've already said I would do anything for attention on this podcast.
And you know, some of the drama, but not like, I don't think of you as a drama, like high drama person, but you have a flair is a pretty good word. And yet, you know, like there is something that is spiritually powerful about the consistency, and you're using the word stability. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can be like, oh, I'm just so chaotic, or I'm just so wild. But there is anybody can really find the power of just getting some of those basics and just the stability of, I mean, that sounds incredible what you were doing during lockdown and just the consistency of time, so basic, but so missing in that time. And, you know, your testimony of, man, just getting the right things right.
Absolutely.
Day after day on hard days and really unnerving days for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And something, after having like talked about this today and, we had a prayer meeting at church last night, and someone was praying over the south side location of Rehope, and kind of just talking about, you know, like that mustard seed parable. And the note that I made was like, little things are not little things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like this kind of what we've been talking about today, like going to church, it seems so normal, seems so little, like it is so pivotal, you know? And like spending time with Jesus in prayer and in his word, like it seems so normal, seems so little, so pivotal. And like giving yourself some stability, like little things are not little things. And like whether, like, I don't even know if I think like they're not little because they stack up to make something bigger, but sure, that's true. But on their own, like those things are more important and more powerful than maybe sometimes we let on to ourselves, or definitely like the enemy would like us to believe that these things don't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And my life, like I know church matters because I have had some miserable seasons. I know that Bible matters because I walked for 25 years without it, and then I got a taste and I was like, yo, I am here. I am here. So I know these things matter. And something for the last season for me that I've been praying for is like, because I wear my heart on my sleeve and I let it out, I feel the highs really strongly, I feel the lows really strongly, and I need to be my own anchor. Like I need to have that stability, and I know where I get my source of that. I had a bit of a numb season in February, like into March, where it was less fun, but coming out of that, actually we were at our friend's church in Italy, and we sang a song called Steady Heart, and I thought that's what I need. Like I need a steady foundation upon which to like be flary, you know. And like I need a steady heart, I need solid foundations so that I can have like all the passion and not let it I don't know, like not flail around so much that it drags everything out of place with it. So those two things, I guess, like the commitment to church, the commitment to the Bible, I mean, the commitment to prayer, like I could have talked about that too. Big reawakening moment, making the conscious choice to stand around you and Ruth Weller in pre-service prayer at Rehope so that I could hear what you were praying for every week. Mm-hmm. Like just those like little things aren't little things. Those little choices like really helped, but I need stability. And if I can find stability, you can find stability.
Anybody can.
Yeah, and you can you can benefit from that. And like these simple practices help so much.
I'm going to have you pray for us in a moment, and just really pray just that stability and just bless people. Is there, before I wrap it up, sometimes I like to just take a pause and just say, is there anything else? You're like, as you kind of review it, like, there's so many things we could say, but you're like, okay, no, I feel like that was good, or one more comment, or is there anything else that you feel like you want to add before we wrap it up?
Maybe just one last thing is that every time there's been something, I have made a choice to engage. God has given me invitations, and I have chosen not to ignore those invitations. Like, he spoke to me at church that day, and sitting by my grandma's bedside, and I thought, well, I'm not doing anything else, I'm going to read. And there's been an invitation which I have accepted. And I feel very much non-passive now in my relationship with God, that he's not going to like drag me kicking and screaming. Like, he's going to treat me like an adult. And if I make poor choices, and that's on me. But he offers invitations, and I accept them. And like looking out for those opportunities and those invitations is a really, really, really good thing to do. Sometimes he doesn't give you the option. Sometimes he shoves the invitation in your face. That's been my experience a lot of times, and I'm really thankful for that. But paying attention to what he's doing, looking for those invitations, and then taking them, and your heart will reawaken for sure.
Good. I have a few last comments to make, mm-hmm. but why don't you pray for us first, and then I'll just have some final things.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah.
You are the God who sees us, and we praise you for it. We love you for it, and you don't keep yourself a secret from us. You do all your things in front of us so we can see it, God. So I pray open eyes and open hearts and open minds, like to see and to feel and to understand and to know that you're God and you're good and you bring good things into our lives. God, I pray a blessing of joy and peace and reawakening over your people, those who are especially those who are listening to this. God, and I pray for just increased desires to spend time and to walk with you. I pray for increased obedience to accept your invitations, whatever the cost of that, whatever it may be. And I pray for like a deep knowing of the progress, like seeing the progress in real time, feeling the achievement, feeling the closeness. I bless us with like deeper connections with you, to know you even more wonderfully. You don't keep yourself a secret, so I know you're going to reveal yourself, and I thank you for it, and I love you for it. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Crooksy. Thank you for this. I really, really appreciate it. And I know I'm not the only one that appreciate this. You know, if you found this helpful, I would encourage you to let people know and help them to find this conversation with Crooksy and just the powerful and really helpful things that he was saying. Get the word out. Rate, review would be helpful. But just even just letting people know, like, hey, I listened to this and it was powerful. Ultimately, my heart behind all these interviews that are going to be coming up over this next season is the same as it's always been. My heart is to see our whole generation reawaken to walk in fresh, close, long-lasting, life-giving connection to the God of the Bible. Some people can fumble through this path alone, but everyone does better with help.